This week on Crime World.
There was a Republican police from 1920. I mean, the IRA was effectively trying to run an underground government. And actually, there was a crime wave. 1919, 1920, there's a wave of bank robberies, post office robberies, robberies of individuals, robberies of pubs in Dublin and in rural areas as well. So the IRA tried to actually clamp down on that. They, on occasion, solving bank robberies and giving the money back to the banks. Now,
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you can listen to my podcast, Crime World, wherever you get your podcasts.
An Irish Independent digital subscription doesn't just get you the news. It gets you the best of Ireland's stories all in one place. Whether it's the best of politics, business, sport, entertainment or lifestyle. Get it all for just €4 a month for 12 months when you first subscribe. Visit independent.ie/subscribe today. Irish Independent. Terms and conditions apply. Cancel anytime.
It's 30 years of Allianz supporting the leagues. And we're not done yet. Only the leagues. Only the Allianz leagues.
Well, it was a break weekend for football, and hurling took centre stage as well as the All-Ireland Camogie Club Finals. Michael Verney is here with me. Michael, it's an interesting kind of juncture in the league now. You know, we take a little bit of a pause after last weekend, and it's going to tease up the finale. You know, already we have Wexford, we have Cork already into the semi-finals. Some teams are making their run already, maybe with a night later in the year.
Yeah, it's a weird type of finale, as you say, Will. Like, Cork are playing Wexford and it's basically a dead rubber, kind of. They're both kind of true already. So hard to know exactly how to treat that game. It's probably a rare opportunity, you'd say, for some teams that are going to be in the latter stages of the league to actually get a good block of training in during these 2 weeks as well, because it could be pretty much game on game if you're getting to a final thereafter. So I was chatting to Liam Cattle about it yesterday. It's a real delicate balancing act with players not pushing them over the edge. And he just said, as a manager, you always want go, 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 go. But he says he has to listen to some voices that he maybe doesn't want to, just to kind of pull back with certain guys and make sure that you don't push them over the edge and pick up a knock. But such a crucial time now. You just want everybody to get a nice little block, 4 or 5 weeks training, and have them ready for the two provincial campaigns. You don't really want to be picking up any setbacks right at this stage.
Yeah, well, we'll be joined in just a minute on the Tyrone podcast in association with Allianz by John Milan, our regular guest, as well as Wexford hurling legend Martin Story, to discuss all the weekend storylines. But so as you mentioned there, yeah, picking up a little knock, like Seamus Callanan is one player, you know, broken finger, I think it is, which doesn't sound too serious ordinarily, but when it's such a tightly packed schedule, he could miss now the opening game against Waterford in the Championship. Tipperary could then very well be on the back foot to get out of the group at all.
Yeah, it picked it up on Friday night in training last Friday night. You're looking at 6 weeks. I would have broken a finger before. You might get 4 or 5 maybe if it heals pretty well and maybe he wears a glove or something like that. But he won't have any hurling done within that 4 or 5 weeks. So it's one thing being able to keep aerobically fit, but hurling is really all about your eye. And if your eye is not in, you're going to struggle. So be surprised if he probably featured in that first game against Waterford. And, you know, they're quite inexperienced at the moment, Tipperary, and struggling maybe to bed in a new type of a game plan. So tricky couple of weeks for them, and without one of the best players in the country and a hurler of the year only 3 years ago. So probably another challenge on Bonner's plate that he's going to have to deal with.
Yeah, it's funny. I know you were at the Waterford Tipperary game. Liam Cahill going back to face his old county for the first time since, you know, he maybe turned down the opportunity to go back to the manager. You know, were Tipperary fans, do you think, looking longingly at the Waterford sideline, thinking of what might have been?
I'd say they probably were. I just asked Liam after, you know, what was it like, the build-up to the game and even being on the sideline. And, you know, to be fair, it was tame enough yesterday. I'm expecting people were keeping, you know, any tip folk that were going to, you know, throw any verbals his way, I'd say we're keeping them in their back pocket until Easter Sunday. But I'd say, you know, I do think Liam probably made the correct decision from a point of view of what team could win an All-Ireland next. I do think Waterford will win an All-Ireland before Tipperary will. And he's obviously put 2 years into Waterford. And look at where he's taken them from. They hadn't a win in Munster in 2019, an All-Ireland final in 20, an All-Ireland semi-final last year. So it's going to be interesting. Tip are going to try and close that gap, obviously, when they meet in Munster. But it does look like Waterford are a step ahead of them at the moment.
Yeah, well, Easter Sunday and the start of the Munster Championship can't come soon enough. But for now, we're going to be discussing all the Allianz League action. And we're delighted to have John Milan here with us, as well as Wexford legend Martin Story. Welcome to the show, guys.
Pleasure.
And Martin, we might as well go to you first, I suppose, with Wexford going so well, getting their fourth win in a row over the weekend against Offaly. You know, probably not their best performance of the league campaign, but it did book their place in the semi-final. What's kind of impressed you most about what Darragh Egan has done over the last couple of weeks? You know, taking over from Davy Fitzgerald was never going to be an easy task.
I think he's given a bit of freedom back to the players. I think he's letting them open it up a bit. I think he's letting them make some decisions themselves. I don't think we're adhering as tightly to the game plan. And you'll always get, don't forget, you'll always get with a new manager, sort of, you call it the honeymoon period, you know what I mean? And that's going, I mean, like, you take the first game against Limerick, like, John Kiely is trying to find probably the next 10 Limerick horrors. He knows he has 17, 18, but he's trying to bring that from 17 to 18 up to 28 for the next 4 or 5 years. So that's what he's probably using the league for. Plus, probably they mightn't have been training as hard as everybody, because their one and only focus this year is to do 3 in a row, would be my opinion on that. And I mean, Dara's come in and he's an out-and-out hurler, man. If you look what he's done with his club and what he's achieved with his club, like, it'll just show you the interest and the pure interest he has in hurling at heart. Like, so, and everybody, every player knows when a new manager comes in that he's no preconceived ideas, like, you know, of, or you can only come on as an impact sub, you can only play wing back, you can only play, you know what I mean? It's an open board again, it's an open sheet again for everybody to throw how good they are out onto the table again and to try and impress them. Like, you know, so there's two, I suppose those are the two factors why we're going well at the minute, like, you know.
Yeah, John, because you obviously were managed by Dave Fitzgerald as well. And as Martin says, you know, he's a certain type of manager. You know, do you think Wexford do have that bit more freedom now? Some of the players, like, what kind of jumped out to you about, you know, the differences between how Davey maybe had them playing or his style and what Darragh Egan is doing?
Oh, well, look, I suppose, first of all, we can't break away from, you know, where Wexford are at when Davey took over and, you know, where he's brought him to. In the present moment of time, done an unbelievable job. And I suppose we touched on it last week. I suppose, you know, when whatever county Davy comes into, whether it be Clare, Waterford, Wexford, you know, the team are always under the microscope, whether it be the media, you know, anything Davy seems to do. And I just think, you know, as I touched on last week, I just think Wexford are kind of free from being under the microscope. And I think they're, as Martin touched on a little bit there, I think they're just hurling with a bit more freedom. They seem to be enjoying their hurling at the moment. And yeah, look, everything remains positive. You know, as I said, Darragh Egan, you know, you can touch on the manager, but it's a management team. It's the package that comes with Darragh Egan. He surrounds himself with some great men. And yeah, Wexford are in a really, really good place at the moment. And, you know, they're in a league semi-final now. They play Cork in 2 weeks' time. And I suppose with the teams left, there's no reason why they shouldn't go and chase a league title.
You see, we need some sort of silverware in Wexford to get the ball rolling again and get everyone totally flying and get everyone in the county, like, jizzed up, as John is saying there. Like, you know what I mean? But, like, if you go, like, Limerick, I don't think they're worrying about the league as such. They're trying to find. Cork are probably not worrying about the league. They're trying to see what can we do to improve on our performance in last year's All-Ireland final. Galway want to get back to where they were 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. Like, so, I mean, everybody's version of it is a little bit different in that sense. Like, you know what I mean? And, I mean, I'll go back. Like, Liam Dunn was there previous to Davey, but Liam brought us to two. We went to 2 quarterfinals as well. Like, you know what I mean? So there wasn't. Do you know, Davey brought us to quarterfinals and a semi-final. Like, it's the players that were improving gradually, I think. They won three under-21 championships. So it was a natural progression for them to start coming to their peak at 24, 25, 26 years of age to see are they able to compete at the top level in Ireland. Like, and they are competing, but we still need to get a little bit more to be winning, like.
And Michael, obviously the focus naturally is on the manager, you know, coming in after Davey, but what players have stood out to you across this campaign for Wexford? Who's really caught your eye?
Well, there's a couple of things just to jump in on what the two lads said. I think it's key now, like, Conor McDonald was like the lone ranger up front the last 4 or 5 years, and it, you know, it worked to a fair extent, but when, you know, when he's inside now, he has one guy beside him, maybe two at times as well. There's definitely a more orthodox look to the Wexford attack, And when they, you know, they don't have to go lateral when they're going with ball, when they're looking up out around the middle of the pitch, they actually see two or three guys inside. And I think that's kind of an exciting thing for Wexford hurling people just to see that, because they do have really dangerous attackers inside, and they were kind of playing maybe 4 against 6 or 5 against 6 when they were coming up against teams, and maybe trying to contain teams more than anything else. So I think that's exciting. Rory O'Connor has been brilliant in this league. You know, we've talked about him for the last, you know, since he made his debut after finishing the Leaving Cert 4 or 5 years ago. He's on, you know, playing at a really high level at the moment. Conal Flood, very good wing back. Charlie McGuckin, who of course has a good bit of Offaly blood in him, which is good to see. He's just a very effective, hard working forward. Like Mikey Casey as well. Very good too. There's lots of kind of new players like that. New blood that were, I think, probably one of the criticisms of Davey from Wexford people just was, maybe it was the same 17 or 18 faces that the way he'd seen maybe throughout his reign, the same guys were coming on in most games, whereas Darragh Egan has come in, as Martin said there, lads know it's a blank canvas. They have a chance to impress a new manager. There's a bit of stock in the bank for some guys from what they've done in previous years, but really he's just looking at everybody with a really fresh approach. And I think even key to that as well, like, one of their most impressive players in the league so far has been someone like Matt O'Hanlon, who's one of their more experienced players. Looked like he's full of energy again. Dermot O'Keefe is the same. Guys that have been around the block for a good while. So I think it's hugely encouraging for Wexford. And I'll tell you one thing about Darragh Egan that I'm really, really impressed with. Like, Billy Walsh is a big personality, you know, a really big personality who has unbelievable expertise in the boxing field. No problem bringing him in, because he knows that Wexford will get a couple of percentages out of it. Gordon Darcy, like, you know, one of the best rugby players Ireland ever produced, you know, a big personality as well. And like, Darragh Egan doesn't care. He doesn't feel like he's going to be undermined or anything like that. He will bring anybody into the setup that he thinks he can get a percentage or two out of. And I think that's hugely encouraging. And crucially for those two guys in particular, like, they're Wexford, you know, they're Wexford until the end. It's not like you're bringing some guy in who has expertise but doesn't really have any affiliation with the county. So I think he's assembled a serious backroom team, and I think he's re-energized the whole thing. And I think one thing John said there as well, just because Davey is gone, it shouldn't be forgotten what he has done. Like, Davey created a massive, massive buzz around Wexford hurling. And, you know, some of those younger guys that are contributing now, you know, maybe some of the reason they had their hurling in their hand even more is because of the buzz Davey created in the last 4 or 5 years, and particularly in 2019. And they're getting a really, really good bounce out of that. And I don't think anyone could have predicted that they'd win 4 straight after that Walsh Cup defeat to Dublin. Really, really comprehensive defeat. So, yeah, onwards and upwards. It's great to have two lads on the show today. Wexford are flying, Waterford are flying. The two boys absolutely jumping out of their skins on a Monday morning.
Just know we had a sad day yesterday in Croagh Park. Now, unfortunately, Sarsfields gave us a bit of a trimming in the All Ireland Camogie final. We're licking our wounds down here at the moment.
Yeah, but I suppose there is a lot of positivity about Wexford, Martin. And, you know, as Michael mentioned there, you know, the big names that he has involved as well, you know, Billy Walsh, Gordon Darcy, like, does that give a boost to everyone as well? Like, is that something that kind of brings more energy to everyone?
Of course it does. I mean, but like, Gordon Darcy and Billy Walsh were two real hurling men. I mean, I won an under-14 Leinster medal with Billy Walsh in 1977. Like, Billy hurled minor for Wexford. Gordon was equally proficient in hurling and rugby, and he went down the right road, obviously. Look at his career. Like, but I mean, I had Gordon in talking with the lads when I was with the minors going back years ago with Conor McIndoe's lads. Like, you know, just he's one of an out and out, like, staunch Wexford man and a staunch Wexford hero as regards his rugby and that, you know. So no, he's absolutely doing the right thing. I think the big thing with that is as we're after saying, he's not afraid to open any avenue to see what will help Wexford hurling. Davey, like, probably if it's a negative I have about him, was he like probably to control it. Whereas, so it's not about controlling it, it's about getting as much as you can from everything, like, you know.
Yeah, and John, just looking at Wexford's run of form in the context of Leinster generally, like, it's a really interesting time in Leinster hurling. There's no out-and-out favourite, really, it seems, at this stage. Although Kilkenny's big victory over Dublin over the weekend maybe puts them in pole position, you know, because Galway are in flux a bit. Kilkenny, you know, still missing the Ballyhale guys. Dublin, who I know you've been very impressed with, suffered that bad defeat over the weekend. And Wexford maybe timing their run at a good time.
Yeah, and they'll see it as a fabulous opportunity to kick on and possibly win a Leinster Championship. And look, you go back to last year, I mean, probably the game of the year was ourselves and Kilkenny, and they could very easily have toppled Kilkenny, and you know, that would have seen them through to a Leinster final, and you know, that would have been two Leinster Championships possibly in the space of 3 years. So they'd possibly be looking back with a bit of regret last year that, you know, they didn't get to that Leinster final and they didn't become Leinster champions. And look, against Clare, they were extremely unlucky. So, yeah, they'll be weighing everything up. I think they'll be weighing it up and saying, well, look, we're going to go after the league. Darry Egan, you know, has stressed that, you know, he's out to win every match. And I think they'll go after the league and that will carry momentum into the Leinster Championship. And, you know, there's no team setting the world alight in Leinster, albeit the Cats were impressive Saturday night. But, you know, Dublin, for me, I thought, you know, they looked like a team, looked like a tired team, didn't bring the energy, you know, didn't bring the aggression that they brought against Waterford and even Tipperary the previous week. And probably what caught up with Dublin last Saturday night was the fact that they played three weekends in a row and probably using the same personnel within those 3 weekends. So, yeah, I wouldn't judge Dublin on Saturday. They were missing Owen O'Donnell as well. But look, most certainly, Kilkenny are probably the team to beat. But, you know, Wexford, I don't think Wexford have anyone to fear in Leinster. You know, Galway are not setting the world alight. So, yeah, there's every opportunity there for Wexford to push on and win the Leinster title.
I think it's equal opportunity, though, for Galway and Dublin and Kilkenny as well. I mean, Wexford are going well in the league, and often when you're going really well in the league, there's so much talk about you and stuff that it doesn't actually help either, because you miss the little your wallpaper over the cracks a bit, you know.
But it's such a short kind of run in now, Michael, to the championship. That league form potentially would have carried more weight than in years past, where there could be a protracted gap between the end of your campaign and hitting the ground running in the championship.
Yeah, just if you're trying to, like, you can't flick a switch with form and confidence. So to me, I think I'd prefer to be in Wexford situation or in Waterford situation, maybe, rather than Limerick situation at the moment, where you've a fair idea that Limerick will turn it around. But I'd much prefer to have a consistent graph beyond, you know, be playing to a high level consistently over 4 or 5 games, rather than, you know, let's say Limerick 3 losses and a draw, struggling for form, and you're expecting the switch to flick, but you're not 100% sure that it's going to. So, like, I do think it's key for Wexford in particular, and probably a Waterford as well, to really go after a league title and maintain your form and the confidence. I'm just thinking, say, from a Waterford point of view, Ballygunner win the Club All-Ireland, say Waterford win a league title, you know, confidence is really, really up. There's an expectation there, and I don't think it's a bad expectation. I think it's a good expectation that, you know, we're nearing being ready to win an All-Ireland. So I'd much rather have your form nice and consistent rather than expecting something to happen. Because sometimes when you expect it to happen, you can also nearly try too hard. You can maybe train too hard as well. So I'd just be I'd be happier to be in a Wexford camp or a Waterford camp at the moment, or a Kilkenny camp maybe, than a Limerick camp.
And speaking of Waterford, John, you know, how impressed were you with that victory over Tipperary at the moment? I know you've spoken a lot recently about the depth you feel like the panel has, because there's still some key guys who weren't involved on Sunday, and they still won by 10 points against Tipperary, who they play in the opening game of the Munster Championship in not too long now.
Yeah, and that came to the fore yesterday. I mean, that was a serious statement of intent of where Waterford are going. And Bernie is right. There's a massive air of excitement down around Waterford. I mean, you look at the personnel that were missing yesterday: Gleeson, Barron, Desi Hodgson, Caelan Lyons, Carrock Daly, Ian Kenny. The goalkeeping position is up for arms, whether Billy Nolan or my own club, and Sean O'Brien looking in. Like, so potentially, you could have added up to 6 or 7 lads that they were missing that possibly could start in 3 or 4 weeks. And I think that allows Liam Cattle the luxury to go after the league, because, you know, if he was to pick up 1 or 2 injuries along the way, you know, he has the luxury to call upon the panel depth, as you just touched on there, that he can afford that. And I think that's going to really stand to him going forward in the Munster Championship as well. But yeah, look, an incredible performance by Stephen Bennett yesterday. And look, everything is pointing in the right direction for Waterford. And, you know, they go up to Kilkenny now in 2 weeks' time. And I think, personally, I think they should go after that game, albeit they're qualified for a league semi-final. I think there's massive psychological gains to be got by beating Kilkenny and Nolan Park. We've seen that over the years, teams beating Kilkenny in the National League and they're kicking on in the Championship. And look, we've seen it yesterday, Limerick and Clare, there wasn't much at stake, but by God, did they go hammer and tongue. Kilkenny have to go for it in 2 weeks' time. They have to win to secure a league semi-final. But look, it's a derby game, Waterford, Kilkenny. I don't think Liam Cattle will hold back in 2 weeks' time. And I think it's going to be another great test for him. They'll get another fixture in the following week in the semi-final. So, yeah, I think everything is boding well for Waterford. And the more game time they can get into a lot of these younger lads, the better. And look, even the likes of someone like Keane Wadden yesterday, you know, it's great to see him getting action. And I think Liam Cattle is most certainly, he's building something, not only for the present, but for the future as well, and it's great to see.
Yeah, Martin, like what impresses you about Waterford? Like, how high up the list of contenders do you put them? Do you put them maybe behind Limerick as the second best team at the moment?
Yes, at the moment they are, and as John said, they have a huge crowd of lads to come back. But maybe that could upset the apple tart as well, that they're playing in a system now, and you bring in four or five new lads and you change the system a little bit and tweak it a bit, and so you don't know. I mean, momentum is a great thing. Momentum is a great thing in the league for the last, we say, at least the last 7 or 8 years. One time it was a player finding mission. Now it's actually a preparation mission for the championship. Like, you know, and I mean, the championship is only for 5-6 weeks away from this weekend going out. So it's, I mean, injury or anything, now anyone do a hamstring, anyone do something, you actually could miss the first round of Waterford. But Waterford have been really knocking on the door, knocking on the door, knocking on the door. I mean, to win in All-Ireland, it's not Munster or anything. It's just to win in All-Ireland. And they are second. They are, I mean, if you were going through it after last year, your number one was Limerick, number two was Waterford, number three. You could have four number threes possibly at the time, you know what I mean? But the other two were a little bit ahead. Limerick seemed to have come back to the pack a bit. Are they just totally and absolutely concentrating on championship and trying to get everything keyed towards that? Like, we don't really know. There seemed to be an up in them yesterday a bit.
I'm not so sure. I like the last couple of weeks we were saying, look, is Kiely going to push the panic button? But I'd say after yesterday, albeit he was delighted with the attitude of his team, I'd say he's starting to worry a small bit now after yesterday. Like said it last week, that Cork game, the first game, that is a massive, massive game for them. Like, if they were to lose that game, they Waterford the following week. And I was up at that Clare Limerick game yesterday, and by God, I'll tell you, any team that goes to Ennis this year, they'll earn it if they get anything out of there. And I don't think the fixtures are as kind to Limerick. And I just think Kiely, after yesterday, I think he will be a small bit worried. Like he stated himself that it's a challenge, and it's a challenge that they look forward to try and rectify the wrongs that they're doing at the moment. But yeah, I don't know, Martin. I think he'll be a small bit worried after yesterday.
I'll agree with you that, but I think over the last 2 years, every other team has realised that to beat Limerick, you have to be able to go toe-to-toe physically with them. And everyone is trying that at the minute. Like, and I mean, like, me and Clare never played that way. They always were a ball-running team. And now all of a sudden, they are mixing it up, like, you know, which is great for us to look at as well. And I mean, I thought Cork against Limerick last weekend, they were more physically up, prepared for it as well. And they looked like, a good few of the younger lads looked like they'd put on another 3 or 4 kilo each to be able to match Limerick and that. Like, I mean, if you can match Limerick physically, I think you'll match them hurling-wise as well. I don't think there's a big gap in the hurling. I think their biggest aspect for the last 2 years was they physically ran through you. They didn't go around you. And every one of them were able to win their own physical battles. And I mean, that was the big bonus that they had. And I think that has been copied as well. Like,
but I think the opposition, the chasing pack, I really, really think they're starting to home in on them. And that was highlighted by Shane Dowling on League Sunday last night with the contrast of the puck out. Limerick were pushing up the puck out. Clare were withdrawn. And they were very, very conscious of the hand pass yesterday. And I think it upsets their flow where referees are starting to home in on them. Now, I do think if Limerick get back into Croke Park, I think they're going to be very hard, very difficult to beat. I think they are a Croke Park team. One thing that will stand in their favour is that they go down to Cork in that first game, and those dimensions play the exact same as Croke Park. But yeah, I don't know if they were to lose that first game, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion just yet that look, everyone's just going to say, oh look, no matter what happens, they're going to be in the top three in Munster. I think after yesterday, I think, you know, Kylie could be a small bit worried. I'd like to.
Yeah, they're on the go 4 years. I mean, you remember if you go back to the semi final against Kilkenny 3 years ago, there was a controversial 70 that possibly kept them out. They would have been going for four in a row, possibly. You know what I mean? So you don't know. So they're on the road a long time. And in the modern day, I suppose it's a bit different to my time. Like, we were allowed to enjoy ourselves a little bit and cut back a bit. Like, you know, there was no, you weren't bombarded every day with meetings, with dietitians, with everything. Like, you sort of put them all into the one night nearly and you got on with it. Whereas now it's a pressure keg on them to reach the same heights as they have for the last 2 years. And I mean, that's fine. We can look at them the outside, but internally that could be tearing lads up, like, you know what I mean? And there could be because of the standard that they've reached and what they've reached in their own county, they could be fighting for places and stuff going on that, you know, that maybe they might be pulling 100% together. And so you never know what's going on in a team. Like, nobody knows actually what's happening. But they are a little bit, I suppose John Kiley is starting to worry a bit, but they still, if they get it right, if things come together, they are a serious machine when they get moving. Like, there's no doubt about that. They're an absolute serious machine when they get going. Like.
Yeah, and that Easter Sunday game is set to be an absolute cracker down in Porky Eakey. But Michael, what's your kind of view on it? The lads have kind of made some interesting points there about what could be affecting Limerick or their frame of mind even at the moment. What's kind of jumping out to you?
Yeah, well, I've heard the training load they're going through is fairly outrageous, and that they train the Saturday and even the Sunday morning of the Cork game. That's just from chatting a few people on the ground in Limerick. But there are, you know, the boys make compelling enough cases. Like, I'll put you this way, Seamus Flanagan won't play another competitive game before the Munster Championship because he's going to be suspended. Peter Casey is out with a cruciate. They're trying to fill that position. Doesn't look like they have anybody to fill that position. John, I think, stated well in his column on Saturday. I think if they pick up an injury from between 5 and 12, they're in a bit of trouble. And everyone will talk about Keane Lynch if, you know, anything happens to him or he's out of form. And that's true. But John also said, like Will O'Donoghue is, to me, I honestly think he's the heartbeat of that team. He sets the tone intensity-wise, work rate-wise. When he's on the pitch, they look like a different animal. When he's off the pitch, they look different as well. And then you just wonder, as Martin says there, they are on the go quite a while. This is, you know, John Kiley's been there since 17. So we're looking at 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. This is his sixth year here. Is the hunger the same as it was in 2018? Is the hunger even the same as it was last year? Now, you know, when they won in 20 and they won in 21, there wasn't any distraction, shall we say, with COVID. It was just go training, do your bit. You weren't even really able to enjoy yourself too much. Whereas now, you know, the distractions of normal life are back in as well. The chasing, it looks like Limerick have dropped a small bit, and it looks like the chasing pack have closed a small bit as well. And I just think it's going to be fascinating this year. I'd be amazed if they're not taken down the stretch in a couple of big championship games. And it'll be amazing to see how they react to that. Because, you know, the last, you know, tight game they were in a knockout championship game was Kilkenny in 2019 when they didn't get through as champions. And now they're going to be put into that situation this year in Munster. And yeah, as John says there, that, you know, that Easter Sunday doubleheader, tip going to Waterford and Limerick going to Cork, like, that cannot come quick enough. There's so many different permutations between the two provinces. It's really setting up for, like, you'd be a fair man or woman to predict 1, 2, and 3 in Munster and 1, 2, and 3 in Leinster. And that's what we have been craving for so long. And there's just that bit of doubt about Limerick and that extra bit of optimism in a couple of the chasing pack, particularly Waterford and Cork, that just this makes this an absolutely fascinating championship.
I say the Cork panel and management can't wait for Limerick to come to Party Quay. I just believe that because they're still looking probably for a little bit of redemption from the All-Ireland final last year. And nobody, because Kilkenny often give us a heavy trimming like in the championship when I was playing, and you couldn't wait to get them into a league match or the following year to try and justify that you weren't actually that bad. They can all, and I mean, players will hold that. John will tell you, players will hold that to you have to, like, you have to. If not, you won't be out there. You won't want to go back. Like, it's as simple. And I just think that the Cork's legs have strengthened an awful lot. They had the speed last year, but I think there's an awful lot more strength in the body and the legs now than there was. One time they were trying to sidestep. Now they're actually trying to go through the middle. They're not trying to. And the Galway match on Saturday night with Cork didn't. Like, after Paul Shefflin and that, there seemed to be the intensity level never really hit the highs, I thought, with that match on the weekend. Like, I just thought it was sort of nearly you score one, I nearly get another. There wasn't huge, and it couldn't be after the, I suppose, the circumstances. Like,
And John, you know, just on Cork, you know, we talked about Wexford and Waterford making good starts to the league, but they're 4-4 as well. You know, they probably couldn't have done much more to kind of get over that, you know, traumatic defeat in the All-Ireland final, beating Limerick, obviously, but winning all their other games as well.
I think the big thing for Cork going into this league was trying to get a good league campaign, consistency, momentum, you know, and that's probably the one thing we've questioned Cork over the years. You know, they were never a league team, but you know, they're coming with all the answers now. And look, they can only do what they can do is just keep winning games. And, you know, they're after putting really two good back-to-back performances, albeit, as Martin touched on it, the intensity levels weren't at the pitch that they were against Limerick. But look, they made wholesale changes again the weekend. And a bit like Waterford, I think they possibly have the second or possibly the best squad in the country, and that allows them to go after every game as well. And it will be interesting to see how they approach the Wexford game in 2 weeks' time. And I think for the Wexford game in 2 weeks' time, I think they'll really home in and try and get a performance down at Wexford as well, because you know they'll be looking at that Wexford game down at Wexford Park. Wexford Park kind of plays similar dimensions to Welsh Park. And they know that they have to go to Welsh Park in, I think it's round 3. So again, that will be a good test for Cork. And I think Kieran Kingston, he'll be anxious to win that game, see how his team get on down at Wexford Park. And it's going to be another great test for him. Because I think, was it 2 years ago, they went down to, you know, what was it, 2019, they went down to Wexford Park and they were comprehensively beaten down in Wexford Park. So again, I think it's about consistency, momentum, just keep winning games. And I think they'll go after that Wexford game. And I think, as I touched on, you'll probably see more changes in 2 weeks' time against Wexford. And I think they'll probably be eager to top the group and possibly avoid Waterford in a league semi-final.
Just on that, Will, I think Cork have been far too hot and cold the last couple of years. And I think that's the one thing Kieran Kingston has probably gone after in this league, is to try and just get them playing consistently. Like, I thought last Saturday night's game was a perfect game in the sense that a couple of years ago, or even last year, Cork would have maybe thrown in a bit of a clanger of a performance after a big performance against Limerick. But the consistency levels have stayed high, and I think that's huge for them. And even we've been saying for the last God knows how long that Cork aren't a league team. They're not suited to conditions at this time of the year, and they're booking that trend as well. And I think a league title would mean an awful lot to them too. I just think, again, just the confidence that, you know, people say we can't do it at this time of the year. We've done it, we've done it at that time of the year. Now we're coming into the time of the year, the top of the ground that really, really suits us. So I just think after last year's All-Ireland final, you can't afford to be, you know, hot and cold, or, you know, performing, you know, well in one game and then an off performance the next day. All the really good teams, and this is my worry for Limerick at the moment, you know, the best teams always play it to a consistent level and keep it steady. And Cork are developing that, Watford are developing that. And that's why I think there's a worry over Limerick at the moment. But definitely grounds for optimism in Cork at the moment. Huge grounds for optimism.
Yeah, and they haven't actually won the league since 1998. And as you mentioned, it wouldn't be a bad time to rectify that. Maybe just to finish up our chat, Martin, I'll go to you. Leash beating Antrim by a point over the weekend. And interestingly, afterwards, Cheddar Plunkett was talking to the press and he was kind of just talking about how he feels the weaker counties, I suppose, themselves, Antrim maybe, you know, Leash, Westmead, like, just aren't getting enough help to kind of bridge that gap to the top teams, to, you know, to get that little bit further and closer and more competitive. It was an interesting point he made, you know, especially in victory. He wasn't doing it maybe complaining after another defeat. You know, it's a tough place for, you know, the Offaly's, the Leash's, the Antrim's in this league when they're competing probably maybe one level slightly above them. They're probably too good for the level below, but maybe not good enough to be competitive on a consistent basis with the top teams.
Yeah, and Cheddar's an out and out hurling man. He's an out and out Leash hurling man, because he will say it as he sees it and as it is. He won't powder it up or down, or, you know, he won't paint over it. He'll throw it out there. Like Leash are really, really absolutely trying to get everything right, like, you know, sort of, but I think it comes down to money and everything, and investment in underage and investment by the county board in pitches, in training facilities and everything, like, you know what I mean? And you have to, unless you have a real big investor in it, like, you can struggle at times, like, you know what I mean? I mean, you go to the teams that have been successful for the last 20 years, there was never money issues. You know, there was never financial issues. And it's not that the players got more or less. They never had to worry. There was no onus on management or anything to worry about. Can we go off for a training weekend? Can we do this? Can we do that? They were already there. Whereas in and I wouldn't say weaker counties, because that's not a nice word. In so-called weaker counties, often that actual choice or facility is not there for them, like, you know?
Mm. Yeah, because Michael, you're seeing, I suppose, with Offaly, not in terms of maybe resources, but just competing at the top table, and like, it's been a tough league for them. As also, even though they, you know, played well against Wexford and had probably their closest game of the whole campaign, like, it's once you take that step up, as Martin says, you know, maybe some of these teams aren't really set up to bridge that gap with some of the resources.
Yeah, no, it's a massive, massive jump. There's no point in saying any different. Like, in last year's Christy Ring, Offaly played Sligo, Wicklow, and Derry, and you're going up and you're playing Cork, Limerick, Clare. It is a massive, massive gap. From an Offaly point of view, I would have been happy to be really, really good against Clare up until about the 56th minute, and the game kind of turned, and they were very good against Wexford yesterday for the guts of an hour. And it's probably coming down to, you know, conditioning in the last 15 minutes. And that's not conditioning that was done this year or last year. It's conditioning that was done probably for the last 10 years at underage level. That'll take time. It's just, you know, you can't afford to take your eye off the ball at any stage when you're trying to make up ground on, you know, and get close to that top table. Offaly probably did take their eye off the ball, maybe along with a couple of other counties, but the eyes are firmly fixed back on the ball again. It's going to take a bit of time. And that, you know, that relegation game against Antrim is going to be huge for us. It's going to be huge for Antrim as well. And unfortunately, it's kind of a funny situation there, where if Offaly get up to Division 1 and manage to keep their status, that's great for us. But, you know, it's a disaster for Antrim, who have to go back down to Division 2 as well. So I'm not sure. There's at least Antrim, Westmead, Offaly. You could throw a blanket over probably any of them on a given day. But then there's nearly a chasm between them and, you know, the Wexfords and Clares of this world, not to mention the Limericks, Corks and Waterfords as well. So it's definitely a tricky situation for what you call maybe those kind of counties that are, you know, continuing to try and develop and get up close to that top table again.
Just where we have Martin there, I think we shouldn't, you know, the fact that he's from Ewell or the Ball, I think we have to give the camogie you mentioned yesterday. I mean, it was some great advert for the game. You know, I think two great clubs, you know, Ewellard and Sarsfields. And I suppose, look, Martin has probably touched on it there. They're a bit down at the moment, but I think most certainly, you know, none of those girls Ewellard the Ball, absolutely not. And they've been fabulous role models for their club and for Wexford over the years. And I just thought, you know, I was listening to it coming down the radio, Pádraig Lodge and Kay Kelly. And I just think it's great to see. And St. Ryan has had their day in the sun as well. You know, because myself down in De La Salle, I'm putting a good bit of work in behind the scenes with De La Salle Camogie. But I just thought it was
it's great that the girls are, you know, getting the advert that they deserve, and it was great to see that the game was televised yesterday. And
there was only one pity for us, John, that they brought it to Croke Park. We need smaller dimensions, I think.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Normally it'd be the opposite. You'd love to be going to Croke Park. I was crossing my fingers for the last couple of weeks that maybe they'd fix it for Nolan Park again or somewhere, Carlow or somewhere, like, you know.
Yeah, Martin, it was a disappointing day, but, you know, as John says, a great advert for the sport.
Yeah, but these girls, I mean, I'm just going to talk about the girls in Owlert, and sure, the girls in Sarsfields are equally. I mean, fair dues to the Hopper. And he had four daughters playing as well, and the four of them put us, gave us dog's heart up yesterday. But no, like, I mean, in Owlert, and I've managed the Camogie team on a couple of occasions, but it's equal. It's literally equal rights to the pitch, equal. There's no divide between the hurling and the Camogie. Like, it's just, that's the way it is. Like, you play your Camogie. Now, we don't play sort of ladies football, or we don't play men's football, but so it's hurling and Camogie, and that's it. And we've two pitches, and you'd be very lucky to get a booking on any of them if you're over a team, and that's the way it is, and that's the way it should be. But these girls, of every one of them are hurling. I mean, I just take my own daughter, who started with the, and she was still 12 years of age. She's 32 now, like. Do you know what I mean? Like, Kira's hurling senior for 20 years.
Yeah, and just on the Hopper there, the Hopper said, like, it's 20 years in the making. Like, I think spots since a lot of those girls were 8, 9 years of age. And it goes to show you what goes into it. And just on the Hopper, like, you know, he had four girls playing yesterday, but he actually has 6 girls, he was telling me. I was up in Galway there one time. He's telling me 6 girls he have. I thought it was bad having 3. He has 6. But yeah, no, it was a great day for Sarsfields. Yes.
So Crony's daughter was playing centre back for him as well. Like, you know, it'd be like Owler to Ballockshire. It'd be the same thing. It'd be the same as Below with Jews. Like, it comes back down. Like, you know, no, I mean, Mary Lacey and Una Lacey and Ursula Jacob and the twin Kios and my own daughter here, like, they're on the go, 20 years senior. Like, and they still have to win something. She'd have to go try and find them at the end of the night to see where they are out celebrating. And that's what it's about. Like, they're still treated with pure joy and whatever, like, you know, and that's what makes them good as well. They take it really serious, but the minute it's over, they take whatever else they're going at serious, nearly as serious. You know?
And possibly the fact that, you know, Sarsfield's probably had a tougher test in the semi-final against Shlockneil. No disrespect to the Clare champions, you know, Euler probably didn't have a test, probably didn't help him going into the final either, no,
definitely. I mean, I said that clear to Rosie when I come home after the semi-finals. I said it's a pity we didn't have the other game, you know, because it was worth 5 training sessions. I mean, it was worth it. I mean, the Sarsfields had to dog it out against Shlockneil, and that was it. The conditions are horrendous, and there was no one given an inch in it, like, you know what I mean? And that's, and it proved that this, the physicality and the work rate that they brought to yesterday's game was completely different when we played them in December in the All-Ireland final in Nolan Park. Like, it was just completely different. We brought the physicality maybe that day and the pressure, and they, from the time the ball was thrown in yesterday, they chased everything. They hunted in packs. They didn't let our girls settle on the ball. And that's the sign of a good team. Like, you know, that's the sign of a great team.
As you said, a great advert for Camogie, and a no disappointing day for Elliot de Balla, but congratulations to Sarsfields. And I think curling takes a break next week, and then it's going to be a fairly hectic couple of weeks between the final stages of the league and then the championship to come. But for the moment, Michael, Martin, John, thanks so much for joining me.
No way, Luke.
That's all we have time this week on the Throw-In Podcast in association with Allianz. We'll be back next Monday to review all the league action. In the meantime, you can subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or listen on independent.ie. So until next time, thanks for listening and goodbye.
It's 30 years of Allianz supporting the leagues, and we're not done yet. Only the leagues, only the Allianz leagues.